In the next half hour of All Things Considered, we'll have an update on the latest Mars landing. First, we'll hear the story of a former FBI agent who died in jail this month. H. Paul Rico's death at the age of 78 ended an effort to prosecute him for working with members of organized crime. In the 1960s, one Boston writer described Rico as a dashing senior agent who favored a Chesterfield top coat and French cuffs. By the end of his life, Rico was in disgrace. He was awaiting trial for taking part in a mob hit after his retirement. To learn more, we spoke to Ralph Rinaldi, who wrote a book about the FBI's close relations to the mob. He says Paul Rico's story stretches from the Boston FBI office to Oklahoma, where that organized crime murder took place in 1981.
It was a nice spring day in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in late May, and Roger Wheeler, who was a local businessman, quite successful, had just finished a round of golf at the Southern Hills Country Club, a very prestigious country club in Tulsa, and he was quite pleased with himself. He shot an 88, which was a very good score for his handicap, and he was heading back out to his car after changing his clothes in the locker room, and he sat down to take off his golf shoes and put on his other shoes, and he sat down in his car, and a man came up and yanked open the door and pressed a .38 caliber revolver against the bridge of his nose and fired a single shot. The murder happened in front of a swimming pool full of young kids and who were splashing around and diving off the diving board.
Why was this man killed?
There were a lot of theories at the time, but the one that emerged and ended up being what prosecutors and police who investigated the crime for decades believed was the truth was that Roger Wheeler was rubbed out by the Boston Mafia with the help of a corrupt former FBI agent because he'd bought into the wrong mafia-controlled pari-mutuel wagering company. It was a Florida-based company called World High Ally.
Okay, you mentioned a corrupt former FBI agent. You're referring, of course, to H. Paul Rico, who's the subject of our story here. We should mention that Rico was never tried, never will be, since he died before he could be prosecuted. But as far as you know, what evidence tied him to this killing?
At the time of the murders, Rico was actually an executive at World High Ally. But his job in the FBI was recruiting informants out of the sort of Irish mafia in Boston back in the 1960s and early 1970s. And they were the ones who basically ratted out Rico and eventually gave the prosecutors and the police enough to charge Rico with after more than 20 years.
In the 1960s, H. Paul Rico's job was turning informants, turning mobsters into FBI informants. And you're saying that at some point the informants turned him into a mobster.
Well, it was never really clear where Paul Rico's allegiances lay, except that Paul Rico actually went to work for the mobsters after he worked with them. He got them to work for the FBI.
Did you ever meet Paul Rico?
I did. A very tough-looking man, a guy who sort of sized you up like you were steak. He sort of looked you up and down and you regarded you, and if he didn't think much of you, he sort of dismissed you out of hand. And he's not a very personable guy if you weren't a friend. Although what I hear is that in his later years, he lived a fairly normal life of a retiree down in Florida. He played bridge and he played golf and he would go to FBI picnics and the like.
Is it an unusual career path at all that a guy who was a senior FBI agent retires and then goes on to become a pari-mutuel betting executive?
Believe it or not, it's not. You do see a good amount of former, you know, federal law enforcement agents. They get hired by casinos and by gaming companies, because basically what the casino owners and the gaming company owners are buying is they're buying the sort of cachet of and the sort of squeaky clean image of the FBI. It's a great thing to go in front of a gaming board somewhere and say, oh, here's my head of security, Paul Rico. He's a former FBI agent.
It's interesting. I mean, you hear people talking about the revolving door, Defense Department officials who go to work for defense contractors. Same thing?
Yeah, in Boston there was a revolving door. FBI agents who worked with mobsters sort of becoming mobsters themselves. You had the case of Rico's successor, John Connolly, who was just indicted and convicted of racketeering.
Now, Paul Rico, in the last years of his life, was also partially the subject of a congressional hearing into corruption in the Boston FBI office back in the 1960s. What was that about?
Well, because of the revelations that came out in federal court in Boston in the late 1990s, that the Boston office of the FBI had been recruiting high-level organized crime figures as informants. Rico was actually one of the pioneers of this. And these informants had gone on to commit multiple murders. One had committed 20 murders, another had committed 10, and another committed 26. I mean, it was just these horrible horror stories going on. And this congressional committee wanted to know, you know, how this could possibly happen, how the FBI could sort of get in bed with these horrible, murderous mobsters. And Rico's name came up in a couple of contexts, one in the context of the Wheeler homicide, but also in an earlier case where a couple of innocent men had spent like 3 decades in prison because of an alleged frame-up that was masterminded by Rico, too.
While he was an FBI agent, Paul Rico was involved in sending the wrong 2 people away for a murder.
Yes, absolutely.
Why would Paul Rico frame up innocent men for a murder?
It was really his informant who did the actual framing on the witness stand, but Rico was really responding to the priorities of the FBI at the time. The context of this is that in the early 1960s, J. Edgar Hoover really didn't want the FBI involved in the war on the Mafia. In fact, he said the Mafia didn't exist, but he was goaded into it and basically shamed into it by JFK, who was president at the time, and Robert F. Kennedy, who was the attorney general. So the FBI was in this catch-up mode where they had to very quickly show some serious results in going after the Mafia to, you know, keep their status as the preeminent law enforcement organization in the U.S. And it was basically, the word went out that any way you can, make these cases. So it's what Rico went out and did. It was what Hoover wanted, and Rico went along with it.
Before his death in state custody in Oklahoma a number of days ago, what did Paul Rico say about the accusations against him?
He was very defiant. He uttered that now famous line when he was being grilled by Congress about Joe Salvati and Peter Lamoni spending 30 years in prison. He said, "What do you want from me, tears?" And then later on, he told a congressional investigator that, "You can't do anything to me. I'm an old man. I'm going to die before you're going to be able to do anything." So he was actually very prophetic about what ended up happening to him.
We've been talking to Ralph Rinaldi, who is a reporter for the Boston Globe and the author of Deadly Alliance, the FBI's Secret Partnership with the Mob. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Sure thing.